Welcome to page 48. If you're here, you are a nerd. Just kidding. But if you're here, you're interested in knowing more about Revelation than the simple plot that I outlined. So these pages are optional, by the way. I mean, every page obviously is optional. This is a self-guided course, but these pages really are just asides that didn't feel like they fit into the plot that I wanted to share a little bit more, especially since we're not as familiar with Revelation and it could be helpful. So the first question up here at the top is, do you want to know more about why the beast is the sea of Beast of the sea is Rome. Also, what is the mark of the beast? Okay, we're going to address those two things here. So first, the beast of the sea is Rome. Remember, this is a theory. This is promulgated by Dr. John Bergsma, Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. Andrew Swafford, who I trust and love, but you do not have to believe this in order to be Catholic. This is not official Catholic Church teaching. This is one of those things that is, you can go either way. But this is why it's argued that the beast of the sea is Rome. Okay, first of all, when we meet the beast of the sea comes out of the sea. Okay, sorry, obvious. But the beast of the sea is, sorry, the sea itself in Hebrew idiom is chaos. It's the Gentiles. It's darkness. The sea is Gentiles and the land is the chosen people. This is just a Hebrew idiom because the whole idea is that there was chaos and the darkness in the waters, and then God pulled out of it land. So just as the world is chaotic, God pulls out of it his chosen people, right? Because he made a covenant with his one family, the Jewish people. So the fact that the sea is the place where this beast comes from implies that it's Gentile. Romans are Gentiles. Romans are the world power at the time who are worshiping multiple gods. I mean, if you know anything about Percy Jackson, you probably know about the Greek gods, Roman gods. You know, the Roman gods are pagan, so they're Gentiles. Okay. That's point number one. Point number two is that we have already seen a beast in the Old Testament. Remember, John, he really thinks you know the Old Testament. He assumes you've read Daniel. And in Daniel 7, there is this. What's it called? Prophecy vision that Daniel has. Daniel the prophet also, like John, receives visual prophecy. So he sees this crazy vi vision of four different beasts. Let me read it for you, and then I'm going to explain to you who the beasts are. Okay, I'm in Daniel 7. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions in his head as he lay in bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and four beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. Okay, remember, the sea is the Gentiles, chaos, darkness. Okay. The first beast was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then, as I watched, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a human being, and a human mind was given to it. Another beast appeared, a second one, and it looked like a bear. It was raised up on one side, had three tusks in its mouth among its teeth, and was told, "Arise, devour many bodies." After this, I watched another appeared like a leopard. The beast had four wings of the bird on its back, and four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the visions by night a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth and was devouring, breaking into pieces, and stamping what was left of its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that preceded it. It had 10 horns. I was considering the horns when another horn appeared, a little one that came up among them. Three of the original horns were plucked up from before it. There was eyes like human eyes in the horn, and the mouth speaking arrogantly. Okay, you still think Revelation's totally weird? That's from Daniel. Okay, so think of this. Revelation is normal in the category of visual prophecy. Okay, let's talk about these beasts. Four beasts. The beasts represent Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. These are the four empires that are going to be between Daniel and the Messiah. Okay, Babylon is currently conquering him. Persia is going to become the world power after Babylon. Greece is going to take over Persia, and then Rome is going to take over Greece. This is world history. We know this. It's pretty commonly understood that the fourth beast of Babylon in particular is Rome. The third one is Greece. As a matter of fact, fun fact, the leopard with the four heads and the four wings, this is Alexander the Great. Okay, he conquers most of the known world so fast, like a leopard, and his four generals are like the four wings and the four heads. Okay, but eventually Greece is taken down. It's taken down by Rome. So Rome is this fourth beast with 10 heads. So back to Revelation. When this beast comes out of the sea, we should be thinking, I wonder if it's one of the beasts that is in Daniel. Now, when we first meet the beast, it's in chapter 13, and it doesn't say anything about the horns, but a couple chapters later, it's described in more detail, and it says in chapter 17, verse, where are we? Verse 3, He carried me away into the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of blasphemous names, and it had 7 heads and 10 horns. Okay? 10 horns on the beast. So you're starting to connect. Okay. If the beast from Daniel, the fourth beast was Rome, it would make sense that the beast coming out of the sea with 10 horns is also Rome. Okay. That is point number two. Okay. Third point. In Revelation 17, the beast is considered to have 7 heads. Okay. 7 heads, like I just read. And 7 heads, a lot of people connect it to the 7 hills of Rome. Okay. 7 hills surrounding Rome, 7 heads. Easy one. Okay. Next one. The beast of the land forces everybody to worship the beast of the sea. I know we didn't spend a lot of time on this in the other page, but there's two beasts, the beast that comes out of the sea and there's a beast of the land. But the beast of the sea is bigger and better because the beast of the land forces the people to worship the beast of the sea. Okay, let's talk about this. John tells you who the beast of the land is in code. Okay, don't you love John? Okay, let's read a little bit about this. The beast of the land, starting at verse 11, chapter 13, verse 11. We just described the beast of the sea coming out of the water, and now we're looking at the beast of the land. Then I saw another beast, which rose out of the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. It exercises all authority of the first beast in its presence, and it makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It worked great signs, even making fire to come down from earth in the sight of men, and by the signs which it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, bidding them to make an image of the beast, which was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak, and cause those who were not to worship the image of the beast to be slain. It also causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast, or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let him who has understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. It is a number given, 666. Okay, if you liked puzzles and clues and spy things as a kid, you're about to love this. John is giving a code to tell you who is the beast of the land. Essentially, the beast of the land is like a servant, or, servant of the beast of the sea, causing everybody to worship the beast of the sea. And the fact that John is implying, he says, it takes wisdom, but you can understand this, implies that the beast of the land is alive at the time of John, right? He couldn't be prophesying about a future person because then people reading it couldn't understand it, right? So John says, let the wise one calculate this. I'm going to do us both the favor of not pretending that I understand Hebrew and Greek to be able to actually translate it myself. But let me just read from an article that this translation essentially translates to Emperor Nero. Okay, the name, the number 666 translates to a name, and the name is Nero. Okay, let's see. Let me read. In Revelation 3:18, it says, this calls for wisdom. Let him who has understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. If you were to translate it more word for word from Greek, it would say, it is the number of a man, not a human number, okay? So, do any men have a name that adds up to 666? Yes, Nero Caesar. If you take Nero Caesar in Hebrew or Aramaic, which use the same alphabet and the same numbering system, it's typically spelled NRWNQSR. I won't say all the names in Hebrew letters, but the N in Nero has a value of 50 in the Hebrew-Aramaic numbering system. The R has a value of 200. The W has a value of 6. The second N has a value of 50. So NRWN is 50, 200, 6, and 50. Caesar is spelled QSR. The Q has a value of 100. The S has a value of 60. The second R has a value of 200. So if you add all that up, the NRWNQSR becomes 666. This has convinced most scholars that the number of the beast is a reference to Nero. So the beast of the land, Nero, the Roman emperor, causing everybody to worship the beast of the sea, Rome itself. Yeah? Making sense? You following? Okay, I got another point for you. Ready? This is from the beast's introduction, the very first way we get a description of the beast in Revelation 13. Let me read it. I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems upon its horns and a blasphemous name upon its heads. Side note, I did not realize until this very moment that the 10 horns are also mentioned right here. It's repeated in 17. But anyways, hopefully you'll forgive me for that. The 10 horns are repeated here, and in 17, the 10 horns from Daniel. Okay, moving on to verse 2. And the beast I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it, the dragon gave its power and its throne and great authority. Whoa, 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 whoa. Didn't we just read from Daniel about the beasts, the four beasts? One was a leopard, remember, with the wings, Alexander the Great. One was a bear. One was a lion. And then the last one was a beast with 10 horns. So why does this beast have all characteristics? Here's the deal. The Roman Empire adopted practices from all the places it conquered. Okay, it did. It brought in traditions from all these different cultures. So it makes sense that the beast has all the previous emperors rolled in. That it has Babylonian influence. It has Greek influence. As a matter of fact, they just took the Greek gods and they kind of changed them to Roman gods, okay? It has influence from all these other past empires rolled into one. So it actually makes sense. This is the beast of Daniel, but it's actually even more perfected in that it's better described here in Revelation. Okay? So that is why we think that the beast of the sea is Rome, because of Daniel, because of Nero. The mark of the beast points to Nero. It is not as like, ooh, Antichrist, danger, don't say the name 666. It's not as scary as that. It is a identification for Nero. Just like, remember Matthew's genealogy, DVD, that number that we got counted out in the genealogy is pointing to David. This number 666 is pointing to Emperor Nero. Okay, so that's what about the top of the page. I'll probably make a separate recording for the bottom just in case you don't want to know about the Harlot City Jerusalem right now. I will tell you if you scan the next thing. Okay, bye.